courage, courage. More than ever before, as a believer, if you're really going to count for God, if you really want to be used by God, and when I use that phrase, used by God, it's to make a spiritual difference in the lives of other people, not just a difference. Anybody can make a difference. A lost person can make a difference. But a believer is being called by God to make a spiritual difference in the lives of other people. And it's going to take courage. Hey, listen, let me draw your attention. If you're sitting in the right place, there's a QR code in front of you, on the back of a chair near you at least. And that QR code will take you to our website, take you to a couple places that are going to be important for you today. One, it'll take you to an outline that I'll be teaching from this morning. You can follow along. You can take notes on your device. It'll take you to all the verses that we'll be studying. Also right there, there's a Connect card, which is really important to me because that's your way of saying, hey, Steve, I was here today, and this is our first time. This is our 10th time. We're new in the community, whatever the case may be. This is your way so that I can know you were here, and I can send you an email in the morning and thank you for that. It's your way of saying, hey, would you pray with me about this? Hey, you know what? We're going through a rough time. We could use some help with. This is your way to communicate. You fill that out. It asks you for your name, your email address. Submit, bang, comes right to us. We'll follow up with you just as quickly as we can. All right, let's review real quick. All right, here is everything that you missed last week in like a minute or less. Are you ready? That's not possible. Okay, so here we go. The kingdom of Israel. We're going way back into the Old Testament to the time of the kings. First three kings were Saul and the mighty King David and his son Solomon. Solomon's heart turned away from God, and God was going to punish Solomon. He said, but I'm not going to do it until your son takes over the throne. So when his son Rehoboam took over the throne, a rebellion took place. It was led by a wicked man named Jeroboam, and he came and led that rebellion, and the kingdom split. That's why sometimes when you're reading commentaries or history, you see the term the divided kingdom. Yeah, that was the civil war that took place. It was a division in north and south. Jeroboam took the northern 10 tribes, and he became their first king. That became known as Israel. The other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin became the southern tribes, and that became Judah. Jerusalem was in the south. That's where the temple was, and that was in Judah. Jeroboam said, you don't need Almighty God. I don't want you going to Judah and go to the temple at all. I'm going to make you gods, and they are your real gods. And so just like in the Old Testament with Moses, he fashioned two golden calves, and he built one altar in the very, very, very far north outside of a village in an area known as Dan. We go there when we go to Israel. We go to that very altar, and we're probably as close to the Syrian border as maybe from here to the front door. I mean, you're right there. Syria's right there. And he built another one down on the very dividing line between Israel and Judah in a place called Bethel. And so whether you're in the north or the south, there's a place for you to go. And he led the children of Israel away from Almighty God and into idol worship. Oh, and that's known as the sin of Jeroboam. And it was so wicked and so wrong. And every king after Jeroboam, scripture says, kept getting worse and worse and more evil and more wicked. And scripture defines everyone as worse than his predecessor. And it goes down through a series of these kings until you get to a king named Ahab. And scripture says about Ahab, he was the worst of all. He was more evil and more wicked than any of the others. He married a lady named Jezebel, and she was the power behind the throne. And he took the northern kingdom, whose hearts had turned away from God. He took them even further, and he says, now, not only do you worship these two golden calves, But I'm going to show you who your real God is. It's a God called Baal, B-A-A-L. And Baal was, oh, it was a vile, immoral, ungodly. It was a horrendous God. And the way you worshiped it was just off the chart. And this God, Baal, was in charge of the rain and the seasons and the crops. And so the northern kingdom was totally, I mean, Jeremiah started it and it just kept going further. And now Ahab has, I mean, he's taken it over the top. The people have just given up on Almighty God altogether. And God says, okay, all right, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to start sending my prophets to you, and they're going to tell you that you better repent. You better get your heart right with God, or I'm going to punish you, and I'm going to bring judgment on this northern kingdom, this kingdom called Israel. And so in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, verse 1, enters our mighty prophet. What was his name? Elijah. You're still not excited. So here's, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, which is on the other side of the Jordan River, northern part of Jordan is what it is now, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word. Oh, listen, can you imagine when God spoke to Elijah and said, hey, I got a job for you to do. All right, man, God, this is awesome. This is what I've been waiting on. Put me in, coach. What do you want me to do? Man, I want you to go, and I got a message for you to give Ahab. Ahab. Lord, do you know who he is? Yes. Do you know he's been killing all the priests of Almighty God? I do. Now, this conversation, I don't know if it happened word for word like this, but I know it's happening in Elijah's heart. He is really wondering about God's direction here. I need you to go, and I need you to confront him and his false god Baal, who is the god of the rain. And here's the message I want you to give him. As the Lord God of Israel lives, you let him know that this is going to be about who is Almighty God. Is it Jehovah or is it your God Baal before whom I stand? First thing I want you to do is I want you to identify yourself to him. I want you to let him know who you are and who you represent. Wow. He said to Elijah, what I believe is our message today. The time for you to keep your mouth shut, the time for you to blend in with the people around you, your time of minding your own business as a believer has come to an end. And I believe that's true for us today as well. For our kids as they go back to school tomorrow, from day one, mom and dad, you encourage them. You let your friends know who you love and who you serve. And for you, mom and dad, this is for you too. Man, listen, it is time for the church to wake up and get real and get busy and stop just showing up. Stop just checking boxes. Stop just thinking that you're making a spiritual difference by being here on Sunday mornings and start being the church. Church starts when you leave this building, not when you come to this building. Before whom I stand, there won't be dew or rain these years except at my word. Did you catch the word years last week? He didn't say, listen, for the next couple days, for the next few weeks. He said it's going to be what? Years. When you read in the New Testament, you read in James, how long was it that it didn't rain? 3 years. It's a long time. I don't know of many places that can survive that long without rain. And he said, okay, here it is. Is your God real? If he is, tell him to make it rain. Just try. Let's see how real Baal is. I don't know if Elijah was a little bit cocky. Maybe not, because he's talking to the most powerful man, the most wicked man. And you know what? I think he probably just declared God's word. And then look what happens in the next verse. Now, do you think it took courage for him to confront Ahab? Yeah. Before that, do you think it took courage for him to leave his home and go to Samaria where the king was? Yes, it did. Do you think it took courage for him to identify himself with Almighty God standing in front of Ahab? Absolutely. This is all about courage. All about courage. Look at verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith. Cherith is the way you say it, but you would think I was trying to spit. C-H says in Hebrew, which flows into the Jordan. All right, so here's what I want you to see. Let's play with some words right here. Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook. Hide by the brook. Why did God's man need to hide? All right, number one, Elijah's on a need-to-know basis. God didn't lay out the whole three-year plan when he told Elijah to go. He said, Elijah, just obey me. Just follow me. But I want you to go there and hide, because what's going to happen in just a little bit, Scripture says that Ahab's going to send everybody in the country looking for you, and we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you, and if we kill you, then it'll start raining again. So I need to protect you. So that's one reason I'm going to hide you in this very remote place. Nobody even today knows where this brook is. It must have just been some type of a very remote place in some ravine or gorge, because nobody could find him. Everybody in the country was looking for him. But I want to hide you there. But there's another reason that I'm sending you to the brook. I want to train you. I want to prepare you. I want to teach you. I want to get you ready to be used by God. See, talk is cheap. You know what? If I ask you this morning, how many of you as believers really want to be used by God? You know what? I don't ask that, because I would get the church answer, right? You've been around long enough. You've been in church long enough to know that the church answer would be, yes, Pastor. That's the church answer. But let me tell you to do something. Reality is not your church answer. Reality is to look at your heart. Because if you really wanted to be used by God, there'd be some characteristics in your life. And that's what God has to build into Elijah. And so we're just going to look at two things today. And your first thoughts are going to be, gosh, this is kindergarten stuff. Gosh, this is so elementary. Gosh, we know this already. Well, you know what? If it was important enough for him to get Elijah all alone and talk to him and teach him these things, I think it's really important for us as well. This is the key. You want to be a godly man, a godly mom or dad, man or woman, a godly student? This is where it begins. These are the keys. We talked last week about being available. Let's take the second step today. When we read Scripture, so many times we just skip over verses, and this is one of those verses you just read through to get to the next verse. But there's a lot of important things right here. Then the word of the Lord came to him. You ever wondered about that? God spoke to the heart of Elijah. Look how easily he spoke to him. The word came to him. Was it audible? Elijah! Probably not. Did he talk to him through the word of God? There was no word of God at that time. How did he speak to him? Through prayer, through times of prayer. Because Elijah was a man of prayer. And so the word of the Lord came to him. God had something to say, and he spoke to Elijah while he was praying. Let me ask you a question this morning. This is the first lesson that we've got to learn. God got Elijah all alone, away from everything else, because he had to learn how to listen to God. How easy is it for God to speak to you? Elijah wanted God to speak to him. Elijah was expecting God to speak to him. I wonder this morning, day by day, do you expect God to speak to you before you go to work? Do you? Well, not really. You ever wonder why he doesn't? We're not expecting it. If I ask a very piercing question, answer this in your heart. Do not raise your hand. Do not do like that to your husband. In your heart, answer this. Do you really want God to speak to you? And you can't answer that by, well, I'm here, aren't I? Well, you know what? People show up at church for a lot of different reasons. You can't go by that. But I'm talking about day by day. Because as a believer, that's what a personal relationship is all about. Do you just speak to somebody that you're close to, married to, or that you like a lot, or your kid or whoever? Do you just show up near them once a week and call that a close relationship? Or do you crave time with them? You just want to be alone with them. Do you just want to talk to them? Do you just want to spend that time with them and listen to what's on their heart sharing with you? That's what God wants to do with you and with me every single day. But I wonder, answer this, do you really want God to speak to you? Let me take that another step farther. How can you answer that question yes if you don't make time for him to be alone with you? How can you answer that yes if you really don't expect him to speak? How can you answer that yes when being alone with God is not a priority in your life? Well, Pastor, how can you say things like this? Because there is a minute fraction of believers who of their own admission get alone with God every day. Yet we wear the name tag believer. We show up at church on Sunday. But in reality, we really aren't looking and listening for God to speak to my heart. Wouldn't you have thought that God might have left Elijah, just kind of supernaturally protected him and just left him right in Ahab's face this whole time? Every time Ahab would leave the palace, there he would be. Every time, you know, something would go on, there's Elijah. No, he said, you've delivered my message. Now I want you to come and get all alone with me. Because until you learn how to get alone with God, you'll never know how to be used by God to make a spiritual difference. This is a huge, huge, huge thing. Most believers don't know how to be alone with God. Most believers count church as being alone with God. Most believers count church as having a close relationship with God. Try spending 1 hour a week with your spouse and see how close that is. Try spending an hour a week and having other people say, wow, she really loves him. See, that personal relationship, it grows, it develops, the love deepens, that intimacy, that closeness comes from time alone with each other, and your spiritual relationship with Almighty God is the exact same way. Let me ask you a question, personal now, personal. Have you learned how to be alone with God? How often are you alone with God? Is it a regular thing? Is it every day? Is it like when you're in trouble? Oh, we get in trouble and, whoa, Lord, I need you. Oh, I want to be close to you. No, you don't. You just want help. How regular is it? How real is your time alone? Look what he said. He made him a promise. He said, you know what? I'm going to send you to this remote place. And then we're going to read in just a minute. He said, I'm going to meet every need in your life. Wow. Listen, there's so, so much. We'll talk about this more. We'll talk about this more in 2 weeks. Let me just go ahead and ask you a question for you to be thinking about. How can you obey God if you never make time to listen to God? And then what we're going to talk about in 2 weeks is this. If God did speak to you, would you obey Him? Would you do what He's asking you to do? Would you do what He's calling you to do? Or have you already got your plans made, your life lined out? Everything's, don't mess with my life, God. Wow. Elijah is going to cause us to take a lot of long, deep looks inside of us. Because if I really want to be the person that God's called me to be, if I really want to be used by God like Elijah was to make a spiritual difference in other people's lives, God, there's a lot I've got to learn. Oh, folks, listen, the process for us to become godly men and women, grandmas and grandpas, Gigi's and pops, boys and girls, young marrieds, the process is the same with us as it was with Elijah. The details are different. We've got God's word today. God can speak to us through His word as well as through times of prayer. For us today, we look back because the Messiah has already come, and Elijah was looking forward to the day when God would send the Messiah. The details are different, but the process is the same. And if Elijah is going to be everything God called him to be, he has to learn how to get alone with God and hear God speak. And that's the greatest thing that we've got to learn. Let me ask you one more time. How often are you alone with God? How easy is it for God to speak to your heart? Is that a priority in your life? Do you function just as well at work or at home in retirement or at the beach, whatever you're doing? Does your day function just as well when you don't meet with God? And if that's the case, something's wrong. You've gotten so used to being away from God. You've gotten so used to not hearing God that you call that normal. Oh, folks, listen, there's a lot that we've got to learn to be alone with God, to be all alone with God. What are the key things so for me, here I am, I've got a family, I've got little kids, maybe I'm a teacher, maybe I work at the arsenal, maybe I travel, maybe I'm in the military, whatever the case may be, the characteristics of learning how to be alone with God are the same for all of us. God wants you when you're at your best. God doesn't want you to go through the motions. Well, all right, I read a verse of scripture on my phone. That's good. God wants you when you're at your best. Some of you, that's early in the morning. If I had to meet with God late at night before I went to bed, I'd probably wake up praying to John the Baptist or something ridiculous like that, because I am no fun. I'm no fun at night. But my best is early in the morning. And God, that's when you get me all alone, uninterrupted. I'm amazed at the number of adult believers who try to multitask with God. God, I'm going to be alone with you while I drive to work. God, I'm going to be alone with you while I'm cooking supper. You know what? All those are true statements. But God wants to be important enough in your life that you say, God, my world comes to an absolute halt, and it's just me and you. If I have to get up 3 hours earlier than normal to get up early before my kids, that's when I'm going to do that. God, I want to give you my best. I want to be all alone. I want to be uninterrupted. And God, I want you to have my undivided attention. God, I'm here because I know you want to speak to me. And I'm ready to listen, God. When's the last time God spoke to you? When's the last time? Go back in your mind and heart. When's the last time God spoke to you? He desires to do that every day. Look at verse 4, 5, and 6. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, God's given him a little bit of the game plan here. He's told him where to go. Go to this brook, Cherith. And when you get there now, you're going to hide. For how long? Just hide, I'll tell you. You're going to hide, and you're going to have everything you need. Man, there's going to be a brook there. You get that cool water. Man, you can just have all the water you want. There's a drought going on everywhere else, but I'm going to meet your needs, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, I'm a little worried about that. Elijah's thinking. Remember when God said the animals that were clean and unclean? Ravens are unclean, absolutely. And you're going to feed me with unclean? Now, how is this, Lord? So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Look at this. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. How about that? Do you think he was surprised that God did exactly what he said he was going to do? He said, hey, here's the program. Here's the plan. You go hide, and these unclean birds are going to bring this food to you, and there won't be one drop of bird spit on any of that bread. And it's going to be good, fresh meat. Ravens are scavengers, man. It's not going to be roadkill. They're not bringing you roadkill on a stick. They're bringing you fresh meat and fresh bread every day. For how long? Don't worry about it. Trust me, Elijah. Trust me. Let me ask you another question. Church answer. I ask you, do you trust God? You're in church. What would you say? Yes, Pastor. Sure. That's the expected answer. Sure, I trust you. But if you looked at your life, does your life scream that you trust God? Now that may be a different story. That may be a different story. Look at a couple of words in this. God did exactly what he said he would do. Watch this. Let's play with words for just a minute. The word trust and the word faith come from the same root. All right, so we can kind of lump those two words together. Faith and trust. You know what? if we got a definition going, I guess maybe the simplest definition would be, you know what? To believe that God's going to do exactly what he says that he will do. And that's pretty easy, right? But now watch this. Faith and trust are linked together with the word obedience. If there's no obedience, is there really trust? Oh, that one bit, didn't it? See, if I don't do what God asked me to do, do I really trust him? Huh. And obedience is what makes your faith and your trust grow. See, here's my life. Let me talk. Can I talk with my hands? Here's my life and your life. Here's the graph line, right? We're living on this plane right here. And when God speaks to you and God speaks to me, he doesn't call you to something that's way down here. He calls you to a higher level of obedience, a higher level of trust, a higher level of involvement, right? Here's where I am. Here's where he's calling me. And you know what it takes for you and me to go from here to here? For you and me to obey? That difference is called trust. And when I obey, my trust grows. Oh, do you really trust God? Yes, Pastor. I wonder, ask this. What if Elijah, hey, James said he's a man just like us, right? So there are odds that he was tempted not to go to the brook. What if he went to the forest? You think God would have sent the ravens to the forest? What if he had gone to hide in a cave? You think God would have sent the ravens to the cave? What's the key? He obeyed. When he obeyed, he got to live in the promises of God. And my biggest heartache is that you and I as believers, so many times, we miss the promises of God because we don't obey what he asks us to do. And so many times we don't obey because listening's not a priority. See how all of these things interconnect? Yeah. Oh. So do you trust God? Yes, Pastor. And let me ask a couple questions. Why is it so easy for you and for me as a believer to trust God with our eternity, with our salvation? Right? Do you trust that you'll go to heaven when you die? Yes. But do you trust him with your life day to day? I'm not so sure. See, God says that he has a will for our life, that he's got a plan for our life. Let me ask you a pointed question this week, just this week. Don't go back any farther, but how many times this week did you seek God for what his will for you is? Well, no, because I've already got a job. I've gotten married. Lord, I've got kids. You know what? I don't need God's will. Oh, really? Is that how that works? You've got it all planned out. Do you trust God to be able to seek him with all of your heart? God, what is it you want to do with my life? Wow, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. Have you made your own plans? Have you figured out what you want to do? Or do you say, God, I want to be right in the middle of your will. I want to be here until I die. I would love, I don't want to die right in front of you, right? That would probably not be a good thing. But I'd love just to preach right up until the day that he calls me home. But you know what? I don't know that that's his will. So I'm always saying, God, if you're ready for the next chapter in my life, I need to know it. I'm ready. I believe there's another chapter. What's it going to be? I got no clue. Is the next chapter, you know, you're going to preach here until you're 105? You're going to go from here into missions? And you'll spend the next 30 years overseas somewhere? But I'm ready. Remember what we talked about last week? I'm available. You know what we talked about this week? God, I'm listening. And I trust you. Do you trust God? Yes, Pastor. Do you really? Wow. God says, my plan for you is for you to be more and more and more like Jesus every day. Do you trust me to do that in your life? And the church answers, yes, but reality says, how can that be if I'm never alone with you? Because you don't get there by coming to church. That's not a box that you check. That's evidenced in your life day by day by day by day. Talk is cheap. The reality of your life is what you really believe. Boy, Elijah was a mighty man of God. Let me ask you two questions. They're the questions on the outline. It's two of the two divisions we talked about this morning. Do you make time for God to speak to you? And have you learned how to trust God? If you're not a believer this morning, let me just be real honest with you. None of this makes any sense to you. None of this is where you are in your life. Here's what you need more than anything. The greatest need in your life right now is for you to give your life to Christ. We're talking about developing your life as a believer. You need to give your life to God and become a believer before you start learning how to grow. So if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you've never said, God, I need to give you my life. Lord, I understand that you left heaven and you came here just to die and pay the penalty for sin. You made salvation and forgiveness available. And God, I want to tell you that's what I want. God, I give you my life. Whether I'm in fourth grade or whether I'm 94, God, I give you my life right now. If you're not a believer, that's the decision you need to make today. Man, I'm part of Flint River, and I'm a believer. And you know what? What is it that God needs to teach you today? Is it how to get all alone with God? Is it how to listen for God? Is it how to obey God? Is it how to trust Him? What is it that you needed to hear that God spoke to your heart about today? What are you going to do about it is the big question. And you know what? We've got so many people and families that are new in the community that have been visiting with us. You're one of our guests today, and how we love you. We are just so thankful that you've chosen Flint River today to worship with us. You know what? Let me encourage you. I want to encourage you, if you're a believer, and we're praying for you to find a church. I'd love for it to be here. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd love for it to be here, but I'm more interested in you finding a place that fits you, where you can plug in and make a spiritual difference. And I hope God shows you where that is real soon. Lord, we love you and we thank you today for the mighty prophet Elijah, for what you did in his life, God, for what it is you want to teach us in our lives. Father, I pray for the people that we've just talked about, the ones that have never given you their life, that right now, just in the privacy of their heart, they would say, Jesus, here is my life. I want to be your child. For the Flint River believers, God, I need to hear you. God, I need for my trust to grow. God, I need to be more than just a church answer. I need my faith and my walk to be real. I want to learn to listen to you and to trust you. Father, for our guest, Lord, how I thank you that you've moved them into our area, and I pray for them as they search for that new church home. Father, show that to them. Speak to their hearts. Show them where you want them to invest the lives of their family and where you want them to worship and serve. Lord, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's stand together